Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice, along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine, because we are starting. Hey there. Welcome back to the Live Free Podcast. Happy Monday. I hope you're having a fabulous week so far and enjoyed a fabulous weekend with your family. I am here today with another student success story from the Live Free Academy. Today, you're going to get to meet Chelsea. Chelsea is a mom to a sweet little six-month-old. Her baby is 6 months old. She started her business 6 months ago. She enrolled in the Live Free Academy last October. Her baby came early a few days later, and she's built her business on maternity leave. And so today you're going to get to hear that story from how she got started, kind of her timeline from becoming a new mom, starting a business, landing clients, and all that. She also went the direct outreach process. And so she'll kind of shed some insight into the strategy and the route that she took and why and how that worked so well for her. But before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to let you know about a change we're making here. So last 2 weeks ago, we were doing the Live Free Academy. We did our spring sale. In that spring sale, I'm talking with a lot of you who are on the fence, who wanted to freelance, but just couldn't kind of make that commitment to get started. Right now, a lot of you came and said it was finances and that the $197 was just not a great option for you to get started. And so you're going to have to wait. Well, if that was you, I don't want you to have to wait until we do our next sale, probably Black Friday timeframe. So after the initial sale, we ended up kind of just reaching out and talking to people and seeing what you needed. And most of you guys came back and said it was due to finances. So we offered a 12-month payment plan and a 1-month trial to the program. And it was about 50-50 of the people who decided to enroll kind of either payment plan or the extended payment plan or trial. So in looking at those results and just in looking at all of the feedback of everyone, you guys saying that you wanted to do this, finances are tight though. We wanted to add on a new option to enroll in the Live Free Academy. It is a 12-month payment plan. So you can enroll in the Live Free Academy for $147 for 12 months. So you can get started today, $147, have everything in the entire program from the entire course, the job leads, the coaching calls, the student community. You will have access to all of that the second you enroll on the payment plan for just $147. So if that is an option that helps you get into the Free Academy today, go ahead and go to michaelaquinn.com/academy or check the show notes, click the link and come join us. And if you're undecided, listen to this episode. Hear from Chelsea. She was someone who was on the fence for I think she said over a year, maybe 2 years, and just kept coming back to it and coming back to it. And then finally decided to do it. And it was amazing. So if that was you, if this is something that you keep coming back to, you're wanting to do, but you haven't quite pulled the trigger yet, you can get started today with the 12 pay option for just $147. MichaelaQuinn.com/academy. Check the show notes. Come join us. Otherwise, let's go meet Chelsea. Chelsea, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course, I'm so excited to have you on and finally, just hear the whole story from start to finish. I know bits and pieces because we've been working together and you did a panel for us last week, but I'm just so excited to kind of sit down and hear it step by step, but also so excited for everyone else to hear it too, because you've had an amazing journey to starting your business. And I think a lot of people will learn so much from it and hopefully get that courage to take that next step, whatever that is for them.
Yes, I am so excited to be here. I listened to your podcast for probably at least a year before actually purchasing the program. So it feels like such a surreal moment now to be here, like telling my story. So
I know,
and really fun.
And you, like when you were listening, you were like, I'm going to be on your podcast. I'm going to do it. And you, like, you did it. So, but let's start at the beginning, kind of tell us who you are, what you did, what led you to the podcast, and then like kind of eventually enrolling and building your business.
Yeah. So I'm Chelsea. I live in upstate New York with my husband, our daughter, she's 5 months right now, and our two dogs. And my background was as an administrative assistant. I worked with the same company for, in different roles, probably close to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I found you because I was looking for something different. I knew that like the typical just like 9 to 5, it never was my dream. Like when I went to college, I was all over the place with what I actually wanted to do with my life. I was like, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a nurse. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I ended up going to nursing school for a bit, but I did that because I wanted to have a remote job. And I had heard a few people in my family that were nurses talk about having a remote job. And I was like, that's what I want. I want to be able to work from home.
Mm-hmm. And so this was back before it was like the thing too.
Yeah. This was before like remote jobs were really like something that were common. That was the only route I had really heard anyone, at least in my life, talk about having a work from home job. And that's just what I wanted. I've never seen myself working in a traditional setting of like a typical 9 to 5 job. And I kind of honestly just got stuck in one because I kept getting like promoted and the money was good and I kept getting raises and, you know, we couldn't survive on just my husband's income. So I felt very stuck. And then in October of 2021, I became pregnant, which I was super excited about, but it also like wasn't in the plans. And I was like, okay, something like has got to give. Like I have to change something because like we couldn't really afford daycare. That would just have been one of our incomes. So it kind of felt silly to go that route. But I also didn't want to go the daycare route, but I knew I had to figure something out. So I was just doing a million Google searches, like trying to find the answer. I found you and I immediately became intrigued. I reached out to you. I think I asked a million questions. I started like binging the podcast. I read everything of yours I could find. And I was like, this is what I need to do. This is what I've been looking for. But it was kind of like a weird time because like I just found out I was pregnant. So I was like, do we have the money for me to invest in this? I'm saving for like a crib and all this stuff. Unfortunately, I had a miscarriage, but you still were like in like the forefront of my mind as I still was like, we were planning to expand our family. And I was like, I just kept going over to your website. And like, I can't tell you the amount of times I was like hovering my mouse over the purchase button because I was like, I need to do this. Like, I know this is right. Like, I really felt like God just kept like putting it in my mind because I was just praying, like, please show me like where I need to go. Like, what is the route I'm supposed to be taking? Because I know where I'm at right now. It's not it. And so I became pregnant again in February of 2022. And I could not stop thinking about your course. I listened to your podcast every single day my job.
Thank you. I appreciate the listen.
Yes, for inspiration. Because I was like, there's so many options in freelancing. I know I want to do it. Like, what route do I want to take in it? Like, I need to have, I'm like such a planner, which sometimes is like not good because there's just some things that you can't plan, I feel like. And I just listening to everyone's stories. And then in October of 2022, you had a live workshop. And I was like, I'm just gonna go listen. Like, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. And like, this baby is supposed to be here next month. So like, I really need to get it figured out. I feel like I work so much better under pressure. So I feel like I was like, this is just the motivation I need. Mm-hmm. And I was actually put on bed rest because I was like having a bunch of like pregnancy issues. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is the perfect time. I can just do the class on my bed rest. I won't be bored. Mm-hmm. I'll get it done before the baby comes. And then once she's here, I can just jump into everything. But she actually came a couple of days after your live workshop. So even though my plan was to finish the course, I didn't quite have that opportunity. But once she was born, I just utilized all of the time for night feedings during the day. I bought myself a pair of AirPods and I just went through the day listening to the course on a podcast version. And mm-hmm. then I would watch the videos like the next day as like mm-hmm. a refresher and to kind of connect all the dots. Mm-hmm. And I think it was really January though, when like my husband went back to work, that I was like, okay, like it's been a couple of months now. Like I really need to not just be listening. Like I need to actually like implement the steps. And I remember about 2 weeks before he went back to work, I was like doing all of the beginning steps, like mm-hmm. making my portfolio and those kinds of things, so that when he went back, I could utilize her naps as like my time to kind of implement those steps and get things rolling. And everything actually happened for me really quickly, which I'm very grateful for. I heard so many stories like on the podcast say that, and I thought to myself, like, I want to do this, but like, I feel like there's no way that would happen for me like that. And it really did. Like, your course really walked you through everything. And so, yeah, so I worked, you know, really hard on all of that. I feel like I just kind of, once she was here and once I saw the weeks just go by and I saw my maternity leave dwindling down, I was like, it's go time. There yeah. is no more time. She's here. There's like, this is it. Like, if I'm mm-hmm. going to do this and prove it to like my husband and myself that I can make this income, I can make this work, now is the time. Mm-hmm. Which I think was great for me. I work really well under pressure. She was the perfect motivational factor for me, right. just seeing how fast time went. And I just was like, I like can't even barely leave you to like go pick up groceries. Like, I feel sad when you're not with yeah. me. Like, how would I ever leave you for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week? Like, I just yeah. couldn't. And
it's so yeah, hard. So walk me through kind of what your plan was going into kind of January, of like who you wanted to work with, which routes you were going to kind of use to land clients. I know you've mentioned to me before that like you're introverted, and there's mm-hmm. lots of people that are always like DMing me in or emailing in, like, I really want to do this, but I'm an introvert. Like, can I still be successful? If it seems like starting a business, you would have to not, like, there's not a way for introverts to do it, is kind of like, I feel like how a lot of people are feeling. So if you could maybe speak to, I kind of just threw a lot at you, but kind of like your initial plan, yeah. like, okay, who you wanted to work with, what services you wanted to offer, and then what like your plan was to connect with them and reach those types of clients.
Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option. When you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program, so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
So I completely understand that question because I'm fairly confident I messaged you and asked you that probably three or four times before actually purchasing the course, because I have just always been so shy and so introverted and so afraid of putting myself out there, because I have this fear of like, well, what are people going to think being on the receiving end of this? Like, mm-hmm. are they going to think like, this is ridiculous? Like, so I was very nervous about the same thing, but I think that it is not nearly as intimidating as you make it out to be in your head. I decided to do the cold pitching route. That seemed to me to be like the least intimidating because it felt very like a natural like conversation. I also messaged you multiple times about like, do I need to create social media? Because I didn't want to go that route because I'm so shy and introverted. I was also one of those people, and I know that through listening to your podcast, you were too, like, you said you were going to do so many things. And I was the same way. Like, I was like, I am going to do X, Y, and Z so that like I can be home. And I didn't want this to be another thing that someone had heard me say I was going to do and just kind of like laugh me off and be like, okay, Chelsea, like, we'll see. I didn't want to create social media because I kind of wanted to get my business going and then turn around and say to people, like, look what I've built, look what I've mm-hmm. done.
What were some of the other things that you tried?
I didn't really try anything specific. I just would keep like, probably because of all of my Google searches, all of mm-hmm. these like random things would come up on like my Instagram or like my Facebook or just online about like become a digital software engineer and make $75 a month, like sign up for the training today. And it, mm-hmm. you know, I kept having all of these like little ideas of, mm-hmm. well, you know, I can join, you know, this group and they'll just like give me a remote job where I can make $75 an hour and all this stuff that, you know, sounds great, but it's like, is it really like going to do, I even said I was going to join like a billing and coding thing because mm-hmm. they had like remote jobs. I just like knew I was so unhappy where I was for so long because it just wasn't the right fit for me. Mm-hmm. And I just felt very stuck. And I know a lot of people feel that way. I mean, even with how I went about the course, like I saw someone in the Facebook group yesterday talking about how she just felt so overwhelmed because like with working a 9-to-5 job and being a mom, she is struggling finding time to grow her business, which is what she actually wants to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but she can't give up her 9-to-5 job either. And that's yeah. honestly how I felt. Maternity leave for me was kind of like the biggest blessing because that did give me the time where I obviously was still getting income from my mm-hmm. job, but I had the time. Mm-hmm. I just had to find time to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I was very tired for a lot of it because I was making these time slots to do it that were kind of like 1 to 3 in the morning, but like you have to do what you have to do to get there.
Yeah. And it's like that time is temporary. And yes. The 1 to 3 slot, if you hear that and you're like, that would never work for me, it doesn't have to work for you. But you do, if this is something yeah. you want to do, you have to find the time slot that's going to work for you. If you can find at least a couple 30-minute chunks throughout the day, that's mm-hmm. that's a decent start. And for those, yeah. I haven't had a chance to go comment back to that lady yet, but for everyone who's building their business, and most people do have to build their business while they're still working. That's just the nature of how finances and budgets and all of that work. When you're doing that, I recommend save everything you make in your freelance business in a nest egg, because there might come a point where you hit a wall of like, you only have 15 hours available a week to mm-hmm. take on client work. But to be fully booked out, you need to be working more like 20 to 25. And
right.
you'll get a point where like it's just not physically possible to work those 10 extra hours a week and still be present in your kid's life and like, I don't know, remain some semblance of happiness in your day to day. But at that point, if you have at least 15 hours booked, maybe it's 1 to 2 more clients that you need to fully be booked, but you can't get there until you have more time. But if you have that nest egg saved and you have a couple months of like, okay, this is what my business has looked like. I'm bringing in consistent income. I have these consistent clients. I do need
to book two more to be fully booked. I feel though now I'm at a safe place where I could put in my notice. And right. once I was gone, I have, you know, 3 months, 6 months income built up that if I didn't land those two additional clients, you know, right away, I mm-hmm. would be fine. But you'd also at that point have an idea of, okay, it took me X amount of time to land a client.
Right.
And so I know that if I had more time and I just did X things, I would land those clients. But worst yeah. case scenario, if that doesn't happen, I have this savings account to fall back on. Best case scenario, mm-hmm. it does happen. And you've got a yeah. cushy nest egg that you can do something with.
100%.
Keep it for savings for rainy days. Treat yeah. yourself.
I think that's like the best approach. I mean, I know it's so hard because it's like you want to tell people that it's like, it really does give you a push if you have like an end date in sight, like I have to have this done. But I am a very anxious person. So I also totally understand mm-hmm. that, you know, most people, especially when you have like kids dependent on you and you have all these bills rolling in, you know, you can't just quit your job and just say, well, this is the motivation I needed. So mm-hmm. like, I do totally get that. It is overwhelming, you know, sometimes to juggle it all. But I think like it's almost one of those things you just make it out to be so much bigger in your head. Like if you could find an hour in your time during the day, whether it's getting up early, which I know is not fun, but that or like during nap times.
But
or,
okay, it's not fun, but is going to a 9-to-5 every day for the rest of no. your life going to be fun?
No, and I like enjoyed the course so much that like I thought it was so much fun. Like, because in the forefront of my brain, I was like, but this is building my business. Like, I'm in the beginning steps of, you know, building my business. And I looked at the course a lot like, because I went back to school later in life because I thought having a bachelor's degree was going to help me do something. I don't know. And I looked at this and the way I like approached this with my husband too was that because he was so supportive of the course, but also when I was in school, I would just keep saying like, I have school, and I would write down like portions of the course that I must have done that week. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at it like it was an assignment that was due and it was non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped me get it done quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think like listening to it and then watching it was super helpful. Mm-hmm. But for anyone that's kind of like feeling insecure or afraid of starting this because they're introverted, don't feel that way because it's not nearly as intimidating as you think. Like when mm-hmm. I chose to do cold pitching, I looked at it like I'm just sending someone an email. Uh-huh. So worst come to worst, they won't answer me. Uh-huh. And how bad is that really? If someone just doesn't reply to your email, like that's not the worst case scenario. You do in the course, you know, you follow up with people. But again, I mean, what's the worst case scenario? They read your email twice and you don't answer. Like, that's okay. You're going to have people that won't answer you. And you're going to have people that answer you and they're so excited and they're so happy that you reached out. So don't like let the fear of any of this hold you back, because I did that for literally a year, just like wondering like, can I do it? Because I'm so shy. And I regret that so much now, because I'm like, I could have been doing this for so much longer if I had just believed in myself just a little bit. And it's like, don't hold yourself back from your dream life.
Yeah.
Like this is an incredible life. If this is like the life you want to live, you spell it all out mm-hmm. and just think that each day that you kind of doubt yourself, you're putting yourself a little bit further away from that life instead of just taking a chance on yourself and believing in yourself and believing in Michaela, believing in the course and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you more about like your timeline and kind of what it was like to go the cold pitching route. But before we go there, I wanted to ask you, do you ever feel like you were gypped of a maternity leave for kind of like having your first baby and building your business while that there was that time? Because I know some people, I don't know, I was just curious like how you feel yeah. about giving up some of your maternity leave to build your business.
Yeah, I can see maybe how people would feel that way. For me, like in New York, the time of year was kind of perfect because I hate winter. I do not enjoy winter.
You're in the worst place for hating winter.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, I'm stuck inside anyways. So you know, I mean, the way I looked at it was like, I'm someone, I love background noise. I always have. So like, what was the difference if I, instead of just scrolling through my phone and putting on a show that I'm half watching while she naps, what's the difference if I just skip that for an hour or, you know, two, three, however long the naps were in the beginning, versus grabbing my laptop and sitting down and devoting this time to bettering myself, bettering our family, mm-hmm. having more opportunities to do things with her as she grows. And now that it's off and on nice around here right now, but the days that it is nice, it's like the blessing of like being able to go outside at 11 o'clock in the morning and go for a walk with her, with my coffee and with our dogs. I just can't tell you the amount of times I've just thought to myself, like, I am so grateful for Michaela. I am so great. Like, what took me so long to just pull the trigger on this? Because I could have had this so much earlier if I had just believed in myself. I think too, like, to go back to your other question, I was so excited when I started this program because I was like, yeah, I'm finally doing it. And I had heard so many cool stories of different routes people had taken. Mm-hmm. And whether it was like OBM or a virtual practice manager or even like a VA, I thought the podcast management sounded super cool. Pinterest management sounded super cool. But what I think is so interesting for pretty much all the stories I listened to was that I feel like in your class, where you end up kind of like falls into your lap in kind of just like the most unexpected way. Mm-hmm. Like I thought when I bought the class, because you had the job leads board, I thought, okay, I'm just going to go be a VA and I'm just going to apply to every single job leads post. And that's how I'm going to get all of my clients. And I applied to a ton of job leads posts mm-hmm. and I was either told no or I just never got a reply, you know, mm-hmm. for the ones that I had applied for. So that kind of changed my course of like, okay, this isn't working for me. I've heard so many stories of Michaela's podcast and just in the Facebook group of people who landed all their clients through the job leads board. But this is, you know, not going to be my journey. So I sat down, I regrouped, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try cold pitching and I'm just going to see where that goes. And it's worked great. I love it. I don't think I would change a single thing about that. Mm-hmm. You know, that was another thing, you know, for anyone listening that wants to do cold pitching. In the beginning, it's a little bit intimidating, I guess, you know, when you're not getting replies or if you do the mail tracker and like you see that people are reading it and not answering you, that can feel a little not discouraging, but obviously you would want people to reply to you. But I think that that just helps you kind of change your email up a little mm-hmm. bit and tailor it. I noticed that once I really tweaked the email to fit that person specifically, I got so many responses, even if they were, you know, I'm not available right now or this, you know, I'm not looking for someone right now, but thank you for reaching out. I got so many replies, which was really nice. And the way I picked who I was going to work with was I wrote down all of the jobs that sounded interesting to me that I knew people were doing in the freelance capacity. And then I made a list of at least 25 people and or places for each job. So like for VA, I wrote down, that was my longest list. And that's the route I ended up taking. I wrote down probably at least 100 people's names that I wanted to reach out to. And I just would sit down for as long as I could and send out as many emails as I could. And I used the Trello tracking system to know mm-hmm. when I needed to do second and or third follow-ups. Mm-hmm. And that is how I did that. And I am still a VA, but most of the work I do is actually with social media, which was not something that I planned to do, but I love doing it. And that's what I mean. It kind of all falls into your lap and falls into place when you least expect it and how you least expected it too, which is also fun because then it's fun for you to look back on too and be like, wow, I thought I was going to do this, but this fell into my lap and I love it.
Yeah. And that happens. I think when people say fall into their lap. They're not meaning like it just literally fell out of the sky and into their lap. It falls there from the work that they're doing and in the actions that they're taking. Just wanted to clarify that. So like you worked hard and put a lot into what you did. So you made a list of people. Can you kind of give us more of like some clarity on how many people you reached out to and kind of like the timeline from starting to send your first message to like hearing back from people and what response you did hear? Cause I know you mentioned like your biggest fear, like worst case scenario was what if someone doesn't reply or what if they say no? Like what was the actual responses that you did hear from people?
Yeah. So for my first set of cold pitches, I sent 3 emails just to kind of test the waters and see how that worked out.
3 emails, like 3 different people or 3 emails?
I just emailed 3 people.
Okay.
I emailed 3 people and I actually heard back from one of them. She was my first client, actually. So I sent my first set of emails. I want to say that was the middle of January.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I had landed her the very beginning of February. We emailed back and forth a couple times. We had a couple of discovery calls scheduled, but just, you know, life got in the way and bumped them back a little bit. Mm-hmm. But by the very beginning of February, we were working together.
That's a 3-week timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. The other 2 didn't answer, but that's okay.
Yeah.
One out of three.
That's amazing. One of the very first people you reached out to. Did you hear back from her from the very first email? Or did you have to send follow-ups?
No, she replied to my very first email. She was so incredibly nice. And actually, this is kind of what I meant by like falling into my lap. The work I did for her ended up being the exact same work I am now doing for my other clients. It just was never something that I originally set out thinking that this is kind of going to be the bulk of my work for clients. I work with content creators and influencers that have anywhere from 250,000 followers to 1 million followers, whether it be like TikTok, Instagram, or YouTube. Mm-hmm. And the work I do for her, it's so much fun and I love doing it. It was just never something that I had originally thought in my head would be a type of work I would be doing for someone. But I've heard so many stories on the podcast that have, you know, kind of reiterated that same point where like you kind of go in thinking that you'll do X, but then you end up doing Y and you end up loving it. And it's just so fun to see how everyone's like freelance journey kind of take them to unexpected places.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she was my first client and she's awesome. I really love working with her. She is so nice. And throughout that process, that gave me a ton of like confidence in myself. I was kind of on the right track and doing something right. And I decided to just keep sending out emails. Mm-hmm. I bumped it up though. Then I kind of started sending out 20 to 25 emails at a time. Mm-hmm. And I got back a ton of responses. You know, a lot of them were like, you know, we're not really looking for this right now, but we're going to save your information or, you know, thank you for reaching out, but we're not like looking for this at this time.
Did you get any negative feedback? Like, did anyone tell you to get lost, kick dirt?
No one said anything like that. I did get like ghosted a couple times, but I mean, again, like what, it's not, that sounds so much scarier or discouraging in your head, where like people had been communicating with me, been saying that they would, you know, potentially like to work together or not even work together, but that they really needed help. Mm-hmm. And I had 2 people that I was talking to for a short period of time that ended up ghosting me, but you know, that's okay. It's fine. The right clients will always find you.
Yeah.
And then I sent out, I think my 3rd set of cold pitch emails was when I got another reply for a discovery call for my 2nd client. That was the middle of February, if I'm not mistaken. And we are, you know, still working together. She's great. We started working together as of March 1st. And I still am doing like the same, like back-end social media stuff for her. And then in the middle of March, I landed my third client, who was actually my dream client. She was at the very top of my list of people I wanted to work with. And I had reached out to her once and I never heard back. And I decided I was going to reach out again.
Mm-hmm.
And I created some very, very specific content that I thought she might like. And I sent her a very personalized email. And I was so excited and so surprised when she responded to me and wanted to work together. So, mm-hmm. and she also became my biggest retainer client. Mm-hmm. So definitely don't let fear get in the way. Before I sent her my second email, I just like had your voice in my head and it was, don't be the one to tell yourself no, because I've heard you say that on all of the group calls to people or mm-hmm. even on the podcast. And I was like, I'm just going to try it. Worst come to worst, she doesn't reply.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll keep, you know, sending out other emails to other people. And yeah, and I love working with her. And mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of different tasks for her now too, which is fun because I feel like I'm expanding on my skill set, which yeah. is nice.
So you work with a lot of influencers. Of the influencers that you reach out to, do you feel like they all have these big teams, or are they all predominantly like doing things themselves and kind of hesitant to outsource?
I think that now working with influencers, it is insane the amount of work that actually goes into that kind of career. Like it's crazy. Most of the people I've reached out to need help. Like they have so many, their hands are just involved in so many different things that they truly just need help taking a couple of things off of their plate so that they can focus on either putting more content out there or, you know, other back end stuff. Or a lot of influencers I know, like they have their own personal businesses that they're also trying to run. So most of the people I've worked out to didn't have any help at all. So
that's incredible.
And they weren't, yeah, and they weren't that hesitant about, you know, getting help. They mm-hmm. they were like, I've needed this. I haven't had the time to look for it, or that they were, you know, maybe thinking of putting it out there, but they, you know, just hadn't gotten around to it yet. So definitely like don't feel intimidated by maybe people with big followings yeah. if that's who you want to work with. Don't feel like nervous to put yourself out there, because I think you'd be surprised how much goes into that. And, you know, how many people, even if it's not a ton of work or a ton of different tasks, they do really need and appreciate the help. And everyone I've worked with, I feel really blessed. I love all of my clients. They mm-hmm. have all been a dream to work with.
But you were so specific in who you reached out to. And one thing I think that was so smart was you reached out to people that you had already been following, like people you kind of, like when you follow mm-hmm. people, you feel like you, at least I do sometimes feel like, oh, I know them. Like they're just a friend, even though they have no idea who I
yeah,
am.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you were able to create super specific and targeted emails. And if you're going the direct outreach and you're like, gosh, what is she doing that I'm not doing? The first thing I would look at is that email. If you're not getting replies, if you're not getting people responding back, either you're maybe like emailing the wrong person, or the email just isn't where it needs to be. And if a big test is if you could copy and paste that email and send it to someone else and it still makes sense, it's not good enough. It has to be yeah. specific to where it could only be sent to Michaela Klein, or it could only be sent to,
yeah.
I don't know, Walt
Actually,
Disney.
I will say too, with you say that, it just kind of like unlocked a memory for me. Some of the feedback I did get from a couple people were that, one being like a client I'm working with and one being someone that said they would like to work together in the future, was that they get a ton of emails of people asking to work with them or asking to be a VA. And they had mentioned that the thing that stood out about mine and why they responded to me was because it was so personalized and they could tell it was very genuine. And I really actually was a follower of theirs and invested in them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell. And I get that when like people wanting to come on the podcast, it's like, oh, I love your podcast. I'm a longtime listener. your last episode really stuck out to me. And like, that's literally all they say. I'm like, mm-hmm. I call BS. You're not a listener. And you didn't even like, and that's fine. I don't care, but
don't lie.
Don't lie and act like, cause everyone's doing that strategy. And just, I don't know. I think you did awesome there. With the people that you sent to, like in that second round of like 25, did you just send one email or did you send like multiple and follow up with them like 2-3 times? What did that kind of process look like?
Yeah. So for all of the groups of emails I sent, I always did, as the course will walk you through, a second follow up and then a third follow up. And then, you know, you kind of move them to the not interested list, or, you know, maybe you could reach out to them at another point. I will say, with working with influencers and content creators, a lot of people that I was going to reach out with, it was like kind of 50-50. Like, they either did have like a team of people supporting them and I was just kind of unnecessary because they already had a VA or they had a ton of, you know, other back end help, or they had no help. So those were kind of the two groups that I was finding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even also too, like, I reached out to authors that I really mm-hmm. like. I got a couple replies from like some big authors that were like, you know, we're not able to take on someone right now, but like, thank you so much for reaching out. And if any of like my author friends need a VA, I'm going to pass along your information, which is super, super nice. And, you know, I think it's always encouraging. You should always feel encouraged if you get a reply, even mm-hmm. if it's a no, because think of it like, wow, like my email stood out enough and my email was strong enough that this person felt compelled to answer me.
Yeah. And so you did something different. Like, I think a lot of people, when they go the cold pitch route, is their email is like, hey, do you want to hire me? That wasn't necessarily the ask you had in your first email that you sent to people.
Mm-hmm.
What was kind of your approach in those emails?
My approach was more so, I would say, kind of introducing myself, letting them know that I am a follower of theirs. Like my first client, you know, like you said, when you follow someone, you feel like you know them. I've been following her probably 4 or 5 years. So yeah. I did feel like, you know, going into it, I felt like I did know her, which you don't. You only know just so much of people's lives on social media. Yeah. But I used a lot of that kind of to my advantage. Like I would mention something that we connected on, whether it be like, oh, you just had a baby and I just had a baby, or, you know, just something that we had connected on, or something that referenced how long I had been following them, so that they knew for sure that I was like actually serious and I wasn't mm-hmm. just, you know, saying that. I gave very specific like examples or stories or little like anecdotes that kind of showed how long I'd follow them, whether it would mm-hmm. be, you know, a post that they had made a couple of years ago or a couple of months ago, or something that they had said on an Instagram story a year ago. I made sure everything felt very genuine and tailored. And I kind of was just saying, if there was ever an opportunity to work together, like, please keep me in mind. I would love to work with you.
Yeah.
I wasn't very pushy about like, are there job opportunities with you? Please hire me. And I think something that's so important, even though like everyone's new when they started this, like, sell yourself and be confident in yourself and in the skills that you have. You have way more skills than you think you do. And even if you end up working for a client doing something you've never done, the skills that you do have will help you learn how to do that. And everyone I've worked with has shown me a lot of grace. If there's been things that I'm like, I would love to do this for you, I'm going to be transparent, I've never done it before, but I will take it on. And I know that I will learn how to do it and excel at it for you. And everyone has been so patient and so gracious with me as I've learned these like new skills to work with them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So from your cold pitching, do you know how many people you roughly reached out to in total?
I did 3 rounds of 25 and then I did the first 3. So I would say close to 80 people.
And you landed 3 clients from that?
So I landed 3 clients from that and I got a lot of other replies. And I also did have a discovery call with someone that I just didn't think, I didn't think I was probably the right fit for them. Mm-hmm. So I decided to, you know, not work with them. But I think that was also a really good experience for me too, because I think everyone on this journey will probably have a discovery call with someone and walk away feeling uncertain if that's the right person to work with. And mm-hmm. I will say that I think if you are going to work really well with a client, I think you walk away from the discovery call feeling really good about the interaction and feeling like you would love to work with them.
Mm-hmm. And so basically every discovery call you've been on, you landed.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's truly, so that fourth client, they wanted to hire you, but you were like, ooh, something's off. And so you trusted your gut.
Yeah, I just walked away from it. They were so nice. I can't pinpoint anything specific other than that. I just felt like something in my gut was just saying that I wasn't sure that they were the final client I wanted to land. Mm-hmm.
So where are you in terms of being kind of where you need to walk away from your job? Or what does that look like for you?
So I am 3/4 of the way to my income. And that's after taxes have been mm-hmm. taken out. I am 3/4 of the way to my income. I would love to land, ideally, I think I would only need to land maybe 2 more clients to meet my income from my previous job. But I really think seeing, there's no limit on freelancing, which I love, which I think has motivated me to want to like expand more. So I think maybe even 3 more clients mm-hmm. would be great. I haven't started to send out more cold pitches yet, just because I just kind of wanted to get into like a good routine with, you know, my husband being back to work now full time and with having 3 clients and just figuring out, I guess, just like my day to day life and routine and where to find slots to work. I do a lot of work when my husband comes home. He gets home at 2:30. So I typically work like 2:30 to 5:30-ish. Mm-hmm. And then I work a lot at night, like mm-hmm. once my husband and my daughter are asleep. And then he gets up super early for work at 5. So a lot of times I'll just get up at 5 and start working. One thing that I think could be a little like difficult to transition to, at least I have found it a little bit difficult to transition to, is it's so different going from like a 9-to-5 job where people are constantly reaching out to you, like you need to do X, Y, Z, or you're just constantly interacting with the person that you're working with. It's so interesting to go from that to, it just feels so relaxed in the freelance capacity because you're not going to be talking to your client all the time. And that was something that I kind of had to find my footing with, just how often, you know, we should be interacting and stuff like that. But I, you know, it's actually a blessing because you're having so much more freedom in your life and they're trusting you that you're going to do a great job with their work. So I think that was just one of the things I wasn't expecting to find, not difficult. It just felt so interesting to have like been working 10 years where I was just in constant communication. Like even when I was remote for COVID, like my work was constantly calling me, texting me, mm-hmm. emailing me. So to go from that to something that's just so much more independent, and you know, you're definitely have to be a self-starter, I would say, mm-hmm. to be a successful freelancer. It's really nice. Like I said, it's like when I'm like out for walks or just doing something during the day, I'm like, this feels like so great, but it feels like wrong because I've never been able to do this before.
And all you're doing is really taking nice. A walk at 11 on a nice day.
You know, the office I worked in, there was no windows. So mm-hmm. I felt like I was just so closed in all day. And I felt like, you know, by the time I got home and I made dinner and all the things that you typically do in a day were done, it's like the sun was setting or I was just like tired. So it was like, I didn't feel like going for like a walk or whatever. And now this course and this program and this career path gives you so much freedom for your family that it's just like the biggest blessing. Like even like making doctor's appointments. Like, you know, it used to always be like, okay, well, just I need the 7 a.m. appointment or the 5 p.m. appointment. And now I'm like, I can come whenever. Like, it's just like the little things, mm-hmm. picking up your groceries during the day, like being able to start your dinner at like 1 and like have it meal prepped so that you can just pop it in the oven. Like these little, like, they're just these little wins during the day. Joys. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ordinary. It's nothing crazy. Like, I don't know. Drinking champagne on a yacht.
Yeah, no, but it's simple. It feels like it.
Yeah, I love that. So as we kind of wrap up, I know you mentioned, you know, you have a lot of this time and you have clients and you're like close-ish to your income goal. Can you kind of share with us, what does that look like kind of being almost to your income goal compared to like the amount of hours and time that you are working versus what you would work full-time to earn that? That was a really awkward way of asking that question, but does that make sense?
Yeah. So I'm working 50 hours a month right now. I think it'll be closer to 100 to 120 once I'm fully booked.
Wait a minute. You're working 50 hours a month and yeah. like almost to your full-time salary, which is probably like a 40 hour a month job mm-hmm. or 40 hour a week job.
Yeah. So my previous job, I was working 40 hours a week. And the income goal, because I think listening to other people talk about their income, that was really helpful for me to kind of figure out where I could be or the potential of where I could be. The number I really needed to hit was about $3,000 after taxes, just to be living like comfortably and kind of match my previous income. So I am 2/3 of the way there, working 50 hours a week.
50 hours a month.
And oh, sorry. Yes. 50 hours a month.
You're not working 50 hours a week.
No. So for New York State, just the business tax is super high. I didn't originally really realize that. So I had to pivot like my plan and the number of hours I wanted to work just a little bit. But one good thing with freelancing is the opportunities are endless. And I've seen so many stories like in the Live Free Academy group on Facebook, of people raising their rates and tripling their income, yeah. you know, as they grow their experience. So that was something that really motivated me too, and encouraged me to maybe even work a couple more hours than I was expecting to work in the first place, just, you know, for flexibility with our family uh-huh. financially. But yeah, I think once I have 2 or 3 more clients, I would definitely be fully booked. And I am very excited for that. It's always really fun when you land a client. And I will just say one good thing too about cold pitching is that for anyone that's super nervous about discovery calls or feels very intimidated, one thing that I think helped me so much with cold pitching with the discovery calls is that I felt like I wasn't in competition with anyone. I just yeah. really had to show up, be confident, and sell myself. And uh-huh. I think that was something that made it feel, for someone who's super shy, it made it feel a lot less scary to me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Chelsea, that is incredible. That is so exciting. Pretty much working. I mean, you're so close to being there, yeah. working a fraction of the hours.
Yeah, it is the biggest blessing because life is just so much crazier and busier, and the to-do list just seems to get longer and longer when you yeah. have kids. I feel like we have like an endless like flow of laundry and like household stuff. So it's such a blessing to, you know, not have to, you know, come home, make dinner, do the chores, you know, try to juggle time, like family time. So I am just so grateful for this course and for you. The community is amazing. The weekly calls are amazing. That was another thing I felt very shy about, but they're not anything to, you know, be worried about. They're so much fun. You can learn so much from listening to other people. And I just hope that everyone takes a chance on themselves and believes in themselves and, you know, follows their freelance journey.
Yeah. All right. Chelsea, well, thank you so much for coming on today. This was amazing. And
thank you for having me.
Just think it's going to be so encouraging for those women who are wanting to do this, but having those same exact thoughts and just hearing you break it down of what you did, how it worked, is going to be so encouraging and inspiring to them.
Yes, I am so grateful. Thank you for having me on. And I can't wait to hear everyone else's story.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.